Hi, I'm Leon Steele, and welcome to our Bible study program presented by the Community Church of God in Benton, Arkansas, titled Living in Christ. We're a non-denominational church teaching the clear and inerrant truth of Jesus Christ's gospel. If you have any questions or comments about our program, we would certainly enjoy hearing from you. And if you or someone you know would like more information or are interested in participating in this radio outreach program, please call 501-316-0136. That's 501-316-0136. And please listen at the end of today's message for additional information. Now for today's program of Living in Christ. Hello. We're glad you can join us today as we continue our study of God's Word, telling us of the only way we can escape certain death and enter into the eternal life and kingdom of God. And that's the very thing that all mankind longs for. We all long for life without end. We all long for life that has no fear of death, to be in a kingdom where there's no sorrow, no suffering, and no pain, but only love, peace, joy, and accomplishment. Could anything in these short human lives be more important than finding out the truth about eternal life? Amazingly enough, it's not as if that information is some sort of mysterious, closely guarded secret that only a select few people might be fortunate enough or of good enough character to find. In fact, this information is contained in the most read book the world has ever known. It's contained in the Bible. The Bible has been translated into all the major languages of the world and even into most dialects. So the necessary information for eternal life is available worldwide. The entirety of God's Word is not scattered far and wide in obscure reference books restricted to only a few, but it is found in this one book containing all of God's true Word for mankind. Now, I know that most of you listening today are acquainted to some degree with Christian teaching about sin and death and about salvation and life. Actually, about 85% of the population of the United States claims to be of the Christian faith, and most attend a church on a regular basis, or many do. So on the basis of that, we can assume that most people are concerned with escaping death and gaining life. In last week's program, we examined Jesus' words that a person must believe and be born again to enter God's heavenly kingdom. Today, we want to look in greater depth at what it means to believe, because it is only through believing, Jesus says, that any person can escape death and enter into eternal life. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus tells his disciples, and he tells the crowds, John chapter 5 and verse 24, "Truly, truly," he says, "I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." Jesus says in the first part of verse 24 that there are two things that must occur for a person to enter into eternal life. The first is that a person must hear Jesus' word. That is, there must be knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he is the Savior and the Lord. We all understand that we cannot believe in something unless we have knowledge of it. And not just knowledge that something exists, but that our knowledge is true, that it's substantial enough for us to make a rational, sound judgment. And the second thing is that a person must believe God. A person must believe God who sent Jesus as a man to the earth. This is not a God, but it is the God who sent Jesus to the earth. Practically every human being on the earth believes in a God or in gods, but Jesus is specific in saying that every person who wishes to enter into eternal life must believe what the one and only God says about his only humanly born Son, Jesus Christ, and what the God has spoken. Jesus said that he spoke only what the Father had given him to speak. So all of Jesus' words are directly from God. To believe Jesus is to believe God the Father. And that brings us to the question then that we all have to individually answer, which is, do we believe in Jesus Christ? The question cannot be avoided. God requires each person to answer whether they believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Listen to how Jesus puts this, and this is in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Verse 16, Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus says that God set the condition that whoever believes in Jesus Christ, his Son, would not perish. He would not cease to exist because he would have eternal life. This is a statement that many people do not believe because they say everyone dies. So how could that be true? The problem is they do not believe the words of Jesus that say a person must be born again to enter into the eternal life of God's kingdom. And Jesus had explained to them, he explained that to them in the beginning of John chapter 3. And that was part of last week's program. I'm not going to go back there today. But if you didn't hear that program, listen to the information at the end of today's program, and we'll send you a cassette or a CD copy. The person that believes has been born again of God's Spirit, and so then has the eternal life of God. The old body will die, without doubt. But the new animating spirit of life within does not die with the body, but it continues forever. Verse 17, "For God did not send the Son into the world," Jesus says, "to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." In verse 18, he said, "He who believes in him," that is in God, in Jesus Christ, "he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Most of Christianity teaches that we're being judged for salvation or condemnation all the time we live on this earth. Jesus plainly says, though, that those who believe have passed out of condemnation and into life. There's no judgment of condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. But everyone else is still under the judgment of condemnation that has existed from the beginning for all who do not believe. Now, I know many will say, "Well, my church or my denomination or my minister does not teach this, so who am I to believe?" My answer is that no minister, no church, and no denomination can cause you to pass out of death into life. So the question again is, do you believe in Jesus Christ? He says that he can and does. Believing in a minister or church or denomination is nowhere shown to be accompanied by salvation. There are thousands of different churches with different doctrines and practices within Christianity, and all are sincere. All are earnest and sincere, honest in what they believe and teach. However, there's only one church that is in Christ Jesus. It's a spiritual church, and it believes in and follows the person and the word of Jesus. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. Now, that excludes all the other ways that are taught. It excludes all other words claiming to be truth, no matter how sincerely believed, and all other doctrines of life. You and I will answer individually for what we believe and what we do. So we have an individual responsibility to find out the truth of God and place our trust in that truth, regardless of the various conflicting teachings of Christianity. So let me ask the question again. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Or are there words and practices other than his that you follow or that you believe? We read earlier from the book of John in chapter 5 and verse 24, and I want to read that again and go from there. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." In these few words, Jesus places the truth of everything we need to know about life and death into its proper setting. This is a most remarkable statement, that anyone who hears Jesus' word and believes in God the Father who sent Jesus to the earth has entered into eternal life, and that no judgment of condemnation awaits the one who believes, but that that person has passed out of death into life. There's enough information in these few words of Jesus to allow you and I to determine the truth of any teaching of any person or church concerning escaping death and entering into eternal life in God's kingdom. The question for us then is, do we believe what Jesus said? And do we believe God the Father who sent him to the earth as a human being? Everyone in Christianity, by their very name identification, as those that are called Christian, profess to believe in and be a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, though, that it is those who hear his word, meaning all that he spoke, and who believes the Father who sent him to mankind, has left the earthly realm of death behind and has entered into the eternal spirit life of God. Here, all kinds of other Christian beliefs and teaching come into play that are at variance with the words we just read, which are that he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. I'm not going to attempt to go into all the many ways those words of Jesus are portrayed as incorrect in some Christian teaching, but I want to merely offer a couple of examples. First of all, it's widely believed and taught in many churches that a person is not finally saved until they have lived lives obedient to God and have died and have been resurrected and judged worthy by God. That's not what Jesus said, though. He said that he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Jesus makes no mention of anything that a person has done, either good or bad, just that he believes in God, which is the same as saying he believes what God says. Another example, among many we can use, that is taught throughout much of Christianity is that a person must repent and be baptized before he can be saved. Again, Jesus makes no mention of repentance and baptism as necessary to salvation. Repentance is, of course, an absolutely vital part of those who have entered into eternal life. But to claim that repentance contributes in some way to entering into eternal life goes far beyond what Jesus has stated. The one who believes has eternal life, Jesus says. He has passed out of death in a time past and presently lives a believing life in Christ. The person who believes has passed out of death, Jesus says, and now in his present condition, lives in life that is eternal. If life is eternal, then there's no possibility of entering into death again. It is eternally left behind. There are large numbers of church doctrines that differ in some way from the stark simplicity of what Jesus says, which is that the one who believes has been saved and is even now living eternally as a part of the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. The only way other doctrines can exist with Jesus' word, though, is to add, subtract, or modify in some way the words Jesus has spoken. And again, we're faced with the question of whether we're going to believe what Jesus says or what someone or some church says about what he said. And it's not the purpose of this program to question your church doctrines or practices or to cast doubts upon the sincerity of people who differ from what Jesus has said. Our purpose is to present the truth as Jesus gives it in his word, and the chips have to fall where they may. But just so we realize that the statement of Jesus we've been looking at is not isolated, that it's not taken out of context, let me quickly read some others that verify what we read in John chapter 5 and verse 24. This is John chapter 3 and verse 36. Jesus said, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." In John chapter 11, verse 26, he says, and Jesus says, "Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." And then he asked the question, "Do you believe this?" John chapter 20 and verse 31, These things have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. There are many, many more verses that say exactly the same thing. And Jesus is very clear and adamant that a person crosses over from death to life through believing. And I want to take a few minutes and look at what it means to hear and believe the word of Jesus, as opposed to all the other words that are spoken and believed in Christianity. All mankind from the beginning has believed in and followed the spirit and nature that we have inherited from the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. When they were presented with the choice of whether to believe and follow the person and the word of God, or to believe in and follow the person and the word of Satan, they chose to believe Satan. Since then, mankind has constantly taken God's word and twisted it and tortured it until it could be made to fit in with men's ideas and beliefs. Now, I know it's going to upset some of you that I've said all mankind follows the spirit and nature of Satan, but I'm not the one that said this. Jesus was. And we find the account of that in John chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, Jesus is teaching the Jews in the temple in Jerusalem. As you know, the Jews were part of the chosen nation of Israel, whom God had called to be his own people. But where we began here is where Jesus is telling the religious leaders of Israel, of Judah, the truth about who he is, who Jesus is. In John chapter 8, beginning in verse 18, he says, "I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me." Now, this sounds a lot like what we read in John chapter 5 and verse 24, where Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." But most refuse to accept Jesus' word that he was the Messiah, that he was the Savior and Lord. Verse 19, "So they were saying to him, 'Where's your Father?' And Jesus answered, 'You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also.'" And here again, Jesus identifies himself as God, who as a man was physically the visible and exact representation of the invisible Spirit God. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Verse 21 now, "Then he said again to them, 'I'm going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin.' And he says, 'Where I am going, you cannot come.' So the Jews were saying, 'Surely he will not kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come.' And he was saying to them, 'You're from below. I am from above. You're of this world. I am not of this world.'" Jesus clearly identifies himself as being God the Messiah, words they would not believe because he did not conform to their ideas and to their desires. The problem for them, as well as us today, is stated in verse 24, and he says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, the Messiah, you will die in your sins." These people were part of God's chosen nation, Israel, and they believed that was enough to secure their entrance into God's kingdom. And it's in the same way that much of Christianity today believes the same thing, that they're identifying themselves as Christians, identifying themselves as followers of Christ, is assurance of their acceptance by God. Jesus told them, though, that unless they believed that Jesus was who he said he was, they would die in their sins. Verse 25, "So they were saying to him, 'Who are you?' Jesus said to them, 'What have I been saying to you from the beginning? I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world.' They did not realize he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said, 'When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me.'" Jesus was telling them he would be crucified. The only humanly born Son of God would die, be buried, and resurrected as the Father sent him to do. And he would speak everything the Father had taught him to speak before he died. Verse 29, "And he who sent me is with me." Jesus said, "He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. There were a number of people assembled there who believed what Jesus said, just as there are many Christians today, or all Christians today, say, "We believe." But we should not take that to mean that they were saved, as Jesus is going to point out in the next verse. And herein lies much of the problem in Christianity today. Believing is often seen as simply believing what these people believed, that Jesus was who he said he was, that he was the Messiah. That is believing, but it's not all there is to believing. And you can compare believing, for purposes of illustration, to being saved. Being saved, or salvation, is being forgiven by God. It is also being redeemed, justified, sanctified, and born again by God. All those things are included in the one complete act of salvation by God. But there's no part of that left out. If redemption is left out, then you still belong to Satan. If being justified is left out, then you're still at enmity with God. Salvation has more than one part. Yet, it is a one-time, continuing action of God toward the believer. It's one act. In the same way, for us, believing is a one-time, continuing action toward God in acceptance of the person of Jesus Christ and in acceptance and obedience to how Jesus the person has instructed us to live on this earth as God's people. All parts of believing are one action of the person believing in Jesus Christ. If any part's not present, then it's not actually belief. In verse 31, Jesus tells of another part of believing. This is verse 31. "So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, 'If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine.'" Believing, like salvation, is a one-time complete action, but it continues throughout our lifetimes on this earth and until Christ returns. Jesus said that true disciples continue in his word. One who does not continue in Jesus' word has not truly believed. Maybe he's believed in one part of the gospel, but belief is all or none. It can't be separated into parts any more than salvation can be separated into parts. It's all part of one whole. Every part of belief and salvation is dependent upon the other parts. It's one. Knowledge is part of believing. Knowledge of the truth about Christ is required to believe in him. Believing includes acceptance of Jesus as all that he is. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior and Lord of all who believe in his person and in his word. Many people are prepared to believe in Jesus as Savior. That is, they're willing, even glad, to accept his death on their behalf. They're glad to be forgiven of their sins, but their belief fails when it comes to living their lives in obedience to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and his word. And that's what we're given to live by. Believing includes all that, though. It is a total commitment to the person and the word of Christ. It's not possible to separate the person of Christ and his word. As the head of God's one church, Jesus totally directs all that is done in it, and he leads and directs his body, which is the church, by his word. It is imperative that we understand the totality of believing. At the end of his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks of the church in which many profess to be believers and disciples of his. And he says this in Matthew chapter 7. After warning them of false prophets that are going to teach a partial gospel of a different person and a different word than his. And beginning in verse 21, he says to the many professing Christians who have clearly not entered into life while they were alive on the earth, but have come up at the end of the age in the resurrection of condemnation, and this is the judgment at the end of the age. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everybody who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." This is Jesus Christ, the head of the church, speaking to the churches and the people called by his name, which is Christianity. All of Christianity calls Jesus Christ Lord. And for sincerity and emphasis, they say, Lord, Lord. And they acknowledge his person as the Son of God and as the Messiah. But they have not acknowledged, by their obedience, his words as being the express will of God the Father. That's not believing faith in him, though, because there's only partial belief and commitment. There's no belief and commitment to his word. Verse 22, Jesus says, Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And here we have some of the most frightening words in the Bible. Here are described professing Christians, and not just any Christians, not just ordinary people like ourselves, but people who would seem to us to be the very best and the most favored of God's people. They say they have done things that most of us would never dream of doing, and Jesus does not deny what they say. But they're here pleading their case in the final judgment to condemnation, and they claim before Jesus to have cast out demons in his name, and to have prophesied and likely preached wonderful sermons in his name. They may have raised up great churches and even performed great miracles in his name, but all the while giving Jesus the honor and glory for it. But Jesus does not deny that they had done what they said they had done. But in verse 23, Jesus speaks to them the most terrible, soul-rending words that can ever be heard. And he says to them, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. They claimed to know Jesus. They said, We've done all these things in your name. We've prophesied in your name, and in your name we've cast out demons. In your name we've performed many miracles. And they claimed to know Jesus. They claimed to honor and glorify his name through their works, but they obviously did not believe and obey his word. Jesus knows those who believe in him and who have, by believing in his person and by believing his word, made a commitment to following him in obedience throughout their lives. They don't live perfect lives on this earth. They have failings and problems like everyone else, but their belief in Jesus Christ and his word is solid, and they live in ever-increasing obedience to his word. Sanctification is part of God's one act of salvation, and it sets believers apart for God's holy use, and that's carried out in obedience to his word. It can't be any other way. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, we read this. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. There's a mistaken idea among many that continuing in obedience to Jesus' word leads to salvation, and so they make it a matter of faith plus works. However, Jesus nowhere says that any of our works have a saving effect. Rather, it is all who believe that are born again of God and who then continue in his word. Please understand, we're making no judgments of any person or church or denomination. It's our hope that your church teaches exactly what Jesus himself taught, because anything different, anything added to or taken away from his very plain word is not of him. If you have comments or questions or suggestions about this program, we would greatly appreciate hearing from you so that we can better address the areas of interest or concern that you may have. Our contact information will be given in just a moment, and we hope you will join us again next week at this same time as we continue our study of what it means to live in Christ for eternity, beginning now. Well, we thank you for joining with us today. We welcome your comments or questions and invite your participation with us in this ministry. This program is also being broadcast worldwide today on shortwave radio. This is in keeping with Christ's instructions to preach his gospel to all nations and teaching them to obey everything he commanded. If you would like a cassette tape or a CD of today's program, or if you would like information as to how you can participate in this ministry, please write to Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019, or call 501-316-0136, or you can visit our website at www.communitychurchofgod.com. Again, our address is Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019, or phone 501-316-0136. We look forward to hearing from you as we continue to present the true saving gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world.